Please be seated. Injustice is a defining part of human existence. It's all around us. We can look around and we can say some people get all the breaks and others get none. Some people do everything right and they struggle. Others are cruel and uncaring and yet they prosper. This is the world in which we live, a world where injustice is rampant. A world where some people are born simply in the wrong place, where armies are trying to get past them to get to the other side. A world where some benefit from the suffering of others. And a world where sometimes injustice has no winners, but is simply senseless. I was noticing this week two stories that stood out. One was a shooting at a Jewish care facility in Kansas City. And then yesterday, there was another story that went viral on the internet about leaflets being passed out in eastern Ukraine telling the local Jewish residents that they have to register themselves, pay a fine, and give an accounting to the government of all their possessions. Startling reminder of Kristallnacht in 1938. It was a news story that sent panic around the world. Can we really still be living in such a time? Fortunately, the story was found out to be a hoax. While the pamphlets were distributed, no such order was given. But it's a reminder of a relationship of a people. The relationship that many people around the world have had with the Jewish people. Instead of seeing the Jews as people who have carried faith through history, who brought to us the Savior of the world, a people that Christ forgave from the cross and redeemed. Instead, Jews are blamed for Jesus' death. And much of this has to do with the translation error of the Bible constantly translating the same Greek word, which should be for residents of Judea, as simply Jews. Now, this is a senseless injustice, and it is just one example of a senseless injustice. And it is a reminder of the many senseless injustices that happen when people are blamed for something that they had absolutely nothing to do with, or often are villainized because of who they are or what group they belong with. And when we think of justice, we often think of fairness. We think of weighing things out, setting things even, an eye for an eye, a tooth for the tooth, good for good and evil for evil. Very often, even our justice system works in such a way. We think when something has gone wrong, there must be a price to pay. And often this sense is what informs our own understanding of the cross. The world has done many wrongs, and so we think someone has to pay. We heard the reading from Isaiah, often called the Song of the Suffering Servant. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. This passage was understood in the Jewish context as to be the nation of Israel personified. The nation is suffering for the sins of its people, And we hear these words that are so familiar, so resonant with our understanding of Christ. But that passage does not start off with suffering. It begins, "See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up and shall be very high." Isaiah tells us that there is a purpose to this suffering, not just to repay someone for an evil done, but to set things right. And this is what God's justice is really about. When we think about the justice of the cross, we often think of the sacrificial lamb, the sacrifice, blood shed for our sins. And what it is really about is God going to any extent to right that which is wrong. And this is justice. It is to put things back together. Isaiah talks about one suffering for another's sin to be a perversion of justice. And if it were simply about one getting punished for another's sins, then that would be exactly right. It would be a twisting of justice. There is not justice in someone suffering because of another's fault. And if it were just the case that Jesus died simply because of us, this would not be just. But what makes this different? What makes this justice? What makes this set right? Is we forget one detail, that Jesus is God who came to live among us, that God we remembered, born on Christmas Day, that God that we have remembered teaching, the God who spent the 40 days in the desert. That is the God that is in Jesus. And so when Jesus lived as one of us, God knew life as we knew it. When Jesus was abandoned by his friends, God knew what it was like to be in difficulty alone. When Jesus suffered, God knew pain as we know it. And when Jesus died, God knew death as we will all know it. Now, the ultimate injustice would be for God to stand by and watch suffering go on in the world. And many think this about God. Many look at God and they say, how could God stand by and watch all the horrible things going on? How could God be so distant, uncaring, unfeeling, or even malicious and cruel? And this misperception leads to people losing their faith altogether. And indeed, God would be unjust to just stand back and to tell us to suffer for the sins of others, or that we should benefit from the suffering of others. But with Jesus, it is different. Because Jesus came, lived, suffered, and died among us, it is different. Through Jesus, God came to fully know what it is like to live and die and to suffer injustice with us. That is not a cruel and distant God or an uncaring God. That is a God of compassion who doesn't just watch us suffer from a distance, but this is a God who gets down in the trenches with us and suffers with us. And this is how God sets things right. Not by taking away pain and injustice, as we would sometimes want, because pain is a part of life. all suffer pain, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. I recently heard a story which came out of the Buddhist tradition. And a woman who had lost her son went over to a wise man and said, "I want you to pray that my son will come back. And if you can't bring my son back, I want you to at least take my pain." And the wise man said, "I cannot bring your son back, but I can take your pain. But first, I need you to do something. I need you to go and find someone, anyone who has managed to live a life without suffering the loss of a loved one." And so the woman went door to door, village to village, and she found people. Some had lost children, some had lost a parent, some a spouse, some a distant relative, or some a good friend. And she became frustrated going village to village, town to town. And finally she realized everyone she met had suffered pain and loss. And so she went back to the wise man and she said, "Thank you. I now see that while I still have pain, I do not suffer alone." Pain and suffering are a real part of life, a part that God knows as well as we do. But God takes our pain and he makes us grow. God takes tragedy and turns it for good. And so when we meet God at the cross, we see a symbol that was intended for injustice, and we see it become a symbol for justice. The cross is the place where God meets us as we are, here in the mess of life, and God sets it right. Because the cross is a place where injustice becomes justice. The cross is a place where evil turns to good. And the cross is a place where death leads to life. Amen.